was not a drum during that song. That was my foot, all right? Just to make sure you understand that. 1 John chapter 3. We have been going through 1 John. We've been going through 1 John chapter 3. Tonight we will conclude this chapter, so we'll start our reading down in verse number 19. 1 John, not the Gospel of John, but the first epistle of John, chapter 3, beginning in verse number 19. We'll read down to verse 24, the end of the chapter. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 19. Follow along, if you would, in your Bible as I read aloud. 1 John 3, 19. John says this, or writes this, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things." Amen. "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of the Son, of His Son Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us." Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this evening. Now, Father, we come before You asking You, God, to bless the reading of Your Word and now the preaching of Your Word. Father, feed us tonight, please. God, we have read these passages many times. All of us have read 1 John chapter 3 in these verses, and I pray, God, You'd give us maybe some insight that we've not seen before, something that would help us, something that would encourage us. Father, something that would ground us in our salvation a little more surely. Lord, bless the precious Word of God. Help us to get from it what we can tonight, and may it be an encouragement to us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Just again, by way of review, 1 John chapter 3, we saw that verse 1 to 10 talk about our new life in Christ. We've been focusing on that, our new life in Christ. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. I hope you never get over that verse. That's a good verse to memorize. But not just to memorize and hide in your heart, but to never get over it, that we should be called the sons of God. We who are not worthy, we who have no right to be called children or the sons of God, are called that by faith in Jesus Christ. And so those first 10 verses talk about our new life in Christ. Then we said verse 10 down through verse number 24, verse 11 down to verse number 24, then talk about our new love for Christ. Now that we have new life in Him, we have a new love for Him. I don't know about you, but I love the Lord Jesus Christ much more than I did before I got saved. I knew nothing about that love. I had not experienced that love. But now that I've found that He loves me, I love Him also in return. We love Him because He first loved us. So we have our new life in Christ. Now we have a new love for Christ. And that love gives us two things. We saw one last week. It gives us affection for the saints. Verse 11 down to verse number 18. That's what we looked at last Sunday evening. Now that we have a love for Christ, we also have a love for the brethren. We have a love for one another. When God put that love in our heart, it went only not only to Him, but to one another. That's why we're here this evening. One reason we're here this evening. That's why we come on Wednesday night. That's why we come during missions conferences and extra meetings and all those things. Because we're showing that love for one another. We want to be around this group of people. I know some folks are out tonight. Some folks are sick. But can we be honest? There are some folks that have just made the decision not to be here tonight. They know the church is gathering on Sunday evening, and they've made the decision. Sunday morning we'll go, but not Sunday night. That's just not going to be our thing. Sometimes that decision is made for Wednesday night. Well, we'll go Sunday morning, Sunday night, but just not Wednesday night. Maybe not revival meeting, missions conference, whatever it is. There's a problem there. There's a problem deep in the heart when that happens. We're cooling off in our love for God and our love for one another. Notice in verse 11 to 18. Seven times that word love or loveth shows up in verse 11 to 18, talking about our affection for the saints. What a wonderful thing to get together regularly and have church. Brother Bill is probably out in the lobby out there, I guess, right now. He testified Wednesday night, was it? He gave a testimony, a great testimony about how he heard the word on a Sunday morning when he's 7 years old. and he heard the word on a Sunday morning, and he came back Sunday night with questions in his mind from what he'd heard, and the pastor answered those questions in the Sunday evening service, and that Sunday night he got saved. That's a blessing, isn't it? I don't want to intrude or outstep my bounds, but the fact of the matter is that church that he got saved in on a Sunday night does not have church on Sunday nights. What if that had been the story? I'm not going to say how many years ago that was. Well, Bill's not in here. I can say that. What if that had been the story 80 years ago when Bill got saved? No head peeking in. All right. What if that had been? All right. The collection of the saints, the gathering of the saints, is something that we ought to encourage and love. And I'm afraid that in our modern day Christianity, that love for church, that love for one another, has dwindled and waned. And that's why we're in the condition we're at. People can say, well, it's not this or that. Well, the Bible says in the last days, the love of many will wax cold. And that's exactly what that is. When church becomes a back burner thing, the love of many is waxed cold. So we see that love for Christ gives us an affection for the saints. Then in verse 19 to verse 24, what we're looking at tonight, not only does it give us affection for the saints, but it gives us assurance of salvation. Notice that word in verse number 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. That word hearts appears in these three verses, verse 19, 20, and 21. It appears four times in those three verses. Verse 19, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, four times that word used in these three verses. What gives us assurance is the Word of God in our heart. We need to hide the Word in our heart. That confidence comes from our heart. John is emphasizing that the assurance of our salvation is not going to come by our outward actions. Sometimes those are going to fail us. The assurance of our salvation is not going to come by how we feel. It's going to come from a heart that's right and clean before God. You know why a lot of folks doubt their salvation? Because they're not living a good life. They're not living a right life. Now, let's be honest. All of us mess up. Weekly, if not daily. And we're going to talk about that in verse number 20 in just a moment. But we need to have that assurance. And that assurance comes from our new love for Christ. As long as our love for Christ is burning and adequate, we will have the assurance of our salvation. Notice what the Bible says about that assurance coming from the heart. Verse number 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. We're going to call this in verse number 19 a confirming heart. A confirming heart. And hereby we know we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. What is it that gives us that assurance? Well, we know that the Word of God gives us assurance. Look here in chapter 5 of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 13. John's going to write about this. What gives us assurance of our salvation? The number one thing, I'm not sure I should say it that way, or one of the number one things. 1 John 5:13. These things, notice these next three words, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. What is it that gives us assurance? The main thing that gives us assurance is the Word of God. It is the Bible that gives us assurance. When we are keen in walking with God and we're keen in our devotions and our Bible reading, we really don't struggle with questioning our salvation. It's as we drift a little bit from God, as we use the word in the Bible, backslide a little bit, and backslide doesn't have to be terrible things, but just cooling off for God. When we do, we will question our salvation. That's normal. And so the Word of God is given us. These things have I written unto you that believe that you may know that you have eternal life. We get our assurance from the Word of God. We get our assurance from the work of Christ. Look, if you would, at 1 Peter, back up a few pages. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 24. We get our assurance from the work of Christ. How do you know you're saved? Well, number one, because the Bible says, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, and if you have, you did, that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you know you've got it? Because it is written. How do you know it? Because of the work of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes, and please don't misunderstand that verse, it's not talking about your physical healing. By His stripes you are healed. That's talking about Him taking our sins in His body. A lot of folks have, in this modern era, have taken that verse to mean that by His stripes we have healing from cancer and healing from heart issues and healing from blindness and healing. No, that those stripes that healed were not for physical healing, they were for spiritual healing. And by His stripes we're healed because He bare our sins in His own body. The work of Christ gives us assurance of salvation. How do I know I'm saved? Because I've trusted in what Jesus Christ did for me. So there is the Word of God. There's the work of Christ. Thirdly, there is the witness of the Spirit. Look back at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And no doubt you're familiar with this verse. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 16. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Bible says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So it's the word of God, the work of Christ, and the witness of the Spirit that give us the assurance of our salvation. The Spirit, capital S, itself, beareth witness with our spirit, small s, that's human spirit, that we are the children of God. When I am led to question my salvation, and I'll be honest with you, it doesn't happen often, but every once in a while the devil will just sit there and say, "How can you know for sure? How can you be sure that of all the religions of the world and all the faiths of the world and all the belief systems of the world, how can you be sure you stumbled onto the right one?" Maybe the devil doesn't do that to you, but he does it to me every once in a while. You know what I go back to? The Word of God. This is what's written, that to them that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. The work of Christ. He's borne our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. The witness of the Spirit. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We've got a threefold encouragement to remind us during our times of doubt. We've got something that confirms our hearts that we're saved and born again. Now there's a fourth one, and that's what John's writing about here in 1 John chapter 3. John here is not writing about the Word of God. He's not writing about the work of Christ. He's not writing about the witness of the Spirit. Notice verse number 19. Notice how he begins this section. He says, "And hereby we know." Well, the hereby means because of what he just got done saying. Because of what I've just written, this is how we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before them. And how was that? Well, verse number 18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth." Not just verse 18, but all the verses from verse 11 down to verse 18. He's just been talking about the affection we have for saints. And he says that affection, that love for the saints, is what gives you the assurance of your salvation. That's why it's important to maintain that affection. Maintain that love. Because it helps us in our assurance for salvation. He says, "And hereby," connecting us back to verse 18, our assurance is tied to love for the saints. Can I tell you this, folks? And I've 30 years pastoring, 10 years as a missionary before that. You'll see it in people's eyes. You'll see their love begin to dwindle. As a pastor, you'll call and say, "Hey, we missed you in church." And the enthusiasm that used to be there, to want to be there, is now dissipating just a little bit. It doesn't go cold overnight. But a little bit at a time, just not the desire, not the push, not what it used to be. So other things take over. And when we begin to lose that, that's getting on the wrong track, going the wrong direction. Oh, it's not a terribly wicked or sinful thing, but it's getting the wrong direction, beginning to wax cold. A confirming heart, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before them. How? For our love one for another. For our desire to be in the company of one another. And hereby we know, I like that phrase in verse number 19, and hereby we know. That phrase has appeared 12 times in this little epistle to 1 John. It is a knowing epistle. You can't read that. Folks say, you ask somebody, do you know where you're going to go when you die? Well, I don't think anybody can know that. John said, we know, we know, we know, we know. 12 times in that one epistle. So when somebody says, I don't think anybody can know, read your Bible. All right? Read the Bible. It's always better than the opinions you're hearing everywhere else. And John says we can have a confirming heart. It can remind us of our salvation by the Word of God, the work of Christ, the witness of the Spirit, and especially, John says, by our love for the brethren. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. The confirming heart. But then verse number 20 gives us a contrast. It says, for if our hearts condemn us, we'll call this the condemning heart. If our hearts condemn us, the Bible says, God is greater, thank God, than our heart, and knoweth all things. Sometimes, as we've said already, our hearts condemn us. If you're really saved, why did you just think that? If you're really saved, why did you say that? Why did you go there? Why did you do that? Now, I'm only talking to Christians that are not sinless and perfect right now. All right, if you're sinless and perfect, this is not for you. I've got a whole other one for you. But I'm talking to us real life Christian folks that every once in a while our heart does condemn us. Our heart convicts us. Our heart lets us down and lets us know there's something that doesn't belong here. Our heart will condemn us. What could cause our heart to condemn us? Well, John is talking about a failure to love the saints, is he not? And when we don't love the saints as we ought to, I don't want to say it that way. Brother Darrell closed the prayer last Sunday night. I don't know if you remember, after that sermon on loving one another, he said something along the lines of, Lord, we don't love one another. We don't always love one another like we ought to. That's an honest confession of every single one of us. So it's not, I'm not putting it that way, but I'm just saying this. When our temperature cools off in our love for the brethren, our heart will be able to condemn us. We'll have more attraction to the things to the world, and then we'll wonder, why are we loving the world like we are when we didn't love it before? Why are we making decisions that are more fleshly than they are spiritually? Because we've cooled off in our love. It's a condemning heart. Failure to love the saints as we ought is the text, but there's other reasons that we have a condemning heart. Discouragement's good at doing that, is it not? Getting discouraged over one thing or another, circumstances of life, or someone letting you down, or we hear this all the time. Well, I used to go to church, but I got mistreated this or that. I don't doubt that that happens sometimes. Not near as many times as people claim that it happens. But I'm sure it happens sometimes. Church is made up of human beings, and human beings every once in a while are going to disappoint one another. Get over it. That's the solution for it. Step over it. Get up. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Get over it. But sometimes discouragement will cause us to have a condemning heart. Lord, if you love me, why are you letting me go through this? These circumstances, these trials, these tribulations. Job could have sat there and questioned the love of God for him. He could have sat there and had a condemning heart. The others were giving him condemning words without a doubt. And he could have questioned everything about it. What's going on here? Circumstances, discouragement, depression, sickness. If you've been through a long-term illness, you can get to the points many times where you just say, Lord, what are you doing? Why are you allowing this to happen? What have I done? Brother Edmonds used to say when he was going through a sickness, he'd say, "Preacher, I confessed every sin I've committed and sins I haven't committed. I've just confessed anything I could think of." And sometimes we get discouraged. And sometimes our hearts condemn us. And we begin to question our salvation. I don't know if you'll notice, when I read verse number 20, I said amen at the end of the verse. It wasn't written there. But I said it anyways because I had to. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. I'm thankful that God knows what happened to me on June 1st, 1975. That's been a long, long time ago. It's still fairly clear in my heart. But sometimes I can forget it. I'm thankful that God never does and never will. There's much debate over whether my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life and I got saved, which I don't think is how it worked, or from eternity past on the basis of God's foreknowledge. But I'm thankful God remembers it when I forget it. I'm thankful that when I question it, He doesn't. I'm signed, sealed, and delivered because of faith in Jesus Christ. And every once in a while, my heart will condemn me. Your heart will condemn you. What do? You say, God is greater than my heart. He will assure our hearts before Him. He is greater than our hearts. He knoweth all things. He knows our frailties better than we do. He understands and allows for them. But our salvation is not based on how we feel. Aren't you glad? Some mornings I don't feel so great. But it's based on fact and it's based on faith, not on feeling. So we have the confirming heart in verse number 19, the condemning heart in verse number 20. Then look at verse 21. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then have we, there's our word, confidence toward God. A confident heart, verse 21 talks about it. A confident heart. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not. That's the majority of time, I think. And why is that so? Because we love as we ought, and we live as we ought, so our heart does not condemn us. Our heart is more prone to condemn us when we are in that cooling off period in our relationship with the church, relationship with one another, relationship with God. But if our heart condemn us not, the Bible says, then have we confidence with God. Wouldn't it be better to have confidence than condemnation? Wouldn't it be better for your heart to be a confirming heart that gives you confidence and you can go forward? I have spoken with folks that believe they can lose their salvation, and I feel sorry for them. I really do. It's not a matter of arguing about doctrine or this. I mean, it is to a certain degree. But I said, because if you don't have that very thing down first, what else are you going to accomplish in life? If you've got to walk around every day worried that you can do something, that God's going to revoke your eternal life, there's no joy in that kind of life. You have to muster it. You have to put it on. You have to make it look right on the outside because you don't really feel it on the inside. But that confident heart, when you and I sing the songs, we're singing with confidence. When we sing, "Oh, it is wonderful to be a Christian," we're not saying, "Tonight, I hope I'm one tomorrow." We have that confidence that comes from knowing Him. So this assurance is what we receive when we have this new love for Christ. Beloved, if our this change of weather gets me every year. If our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. With that confidence, we can move on to verse number 22. Verse number 19, 20, and 21 are talking about assurance. Verse 22 is talking about answered prayer. And again, you're going to have assurance before you can have answered prayer. You've got to know God's your Father and you're His child before you can be guaranteed you're going to have your prayers answered. Notice verse number 22. And whatsoever we ask, notice how this is connected to assurance and affection for one another. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. This is a repeat of Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. You know the verse. Ask, and it shall be given you. Here, John tells us the same thing. And whatsoever we ask, if we love the brethren, if our hearts are assured before Him, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Notice the next word. Because we keep His commandments. Did you know there's something connected to answered prayer other than prayer itself? We receive those things that we ask of Him because we keep His commandments. When our life is cooling off, we can't have the prayer life we had when we were on fire for God. When our love for Him wanes, we don't have the assurance we had before. We don't get the answered prayers. You know why it's good to stay close to God? That's how you get answered prayer. That's how you get the things that you ask for. By maintaining a close walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments. There are conditions in the Bible, conditions to answered prayer. We like to quote Matthew 7, "Ask and ye shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you." But there's more to it than just that. That's step number one. That's the beginning. The Bible says here, keep His commandments. Not for salvation, but for answered prayer. God is not up in heaven just doling out whatever anybody wants, regardless of how they live their lives. We have to keep His commandments. Notice verse 22, and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Keep His commandments. You know what those are? The thou shalt nots. You want answered prayer? Keep the thou shalt nots. Look back at John chapter 14, the Gospel of John. John chapter 14. Verse number 13. John has written about this before, writing his gospel long before he wrote his first epistle. And he said in his gospel, John chapter 14, verse number 13, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything," here's a requirement, a condition, "in my name, I shall do it." Here again is that promise. "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, I will do it." But notice verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandments." There is a keeping of the commands of God that is connected to answered prayer. Now, there's other reasons we don't get our prayers answered. James said, "You have not because you ask not." But if you are asking and not getting them, maybe it's because there's something in our life that God is trying to get rid of or clean out that we're resisting or fighting against. Because the Bible says that we will receive what we ask if we keep His commandments. That's the thou shalt nots. And do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Can I say it this way? That's the thou shalts. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind. There's some things we are not to do, some things we are to do, and that gives us our answered prayer. Answered prayer is a result of asking and doing. We don't do for salvation. It's been done. Jesus Christ did it all. But when it comes to getting our prayers answered, there's some doing on our part. "I've been praying for this for a long time. God hasn't done anything yet." Now, that doesn't mean this is the reason, but it can be the reason. We need to keep His commandments. Answered prayer is a result of asking and doing, and it's a result of assurance of salvation. Knowing that God is our Heavenly Father gives us the boldness to come before His throne. Gives us the encouragement to make our requests known. We're not praying to some mystic deity. We're not praying to some unknown God. We're praying to our Heavenly Father. An unsaved person, no matter how sincere they are in their prayer life, if they're unsaved, has no guarantee for answers. But you and I do. if we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Our assurance, our answered prayer, He says in verse 23, and this is His, I like this, this is His commandment. Again, pay special attention to the word. That's a singular word. This is His commandment. No S at the end, meaning more than one. That's the biggest challenge for foreigners that learn our language. Learning what words are singular and what words are plural and using it, putting the S in the right place. I remember one time a young fellow talking to me, he said, let's go down to the store, we need to get some lumbers. And he put an S on the end. Well, because he meant more than one piece of lumber. So lumbers is supposed to be the right word. No, that's not it. The absence of the S at the end, this is His commandment, means it's a singular, and yet two are given in verse 23. Is that an anomaly then? This is His commandment, one, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice, that is a commandment. Notice what it's called? This is His commandment. Somebody says, well, I've kept all the commandments. How about that one? Have you believed on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ? He didn't say anything about Mary. He didn't say anything about the church. He said, believe on His Son, Jesus Christ. That's a commandment. In fact, keep your place there. Look back at Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30. A verse that is probably familiar to you. Acts chapter 17, verse number 30. Acts 17:30, and at the times of this ignorance God winked at, notice the second half of the verse, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. There's a command of God. He's commanded all men everywhere to repent, to turn from sin and turn to Christ. That's what repentance is. To turn away and turn to. And He's commanded all men to do that, but not all men have done that. This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And verse 23 says in 1 John 3, and love one another as He gave commandment. So there's this is His commandment, singular. Then two things are given, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave commandment. How can that be one commandment and yet two at the same time? I didn't come prepared. I don't have a coin. I can hold a coin up. You know what it is? It's one coin. But we all know there's two sides on that one coin. It's still one coin, but there's two sides to it. Jesus said, the greatest of all commandments is this, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. And the second is like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. You'll notice those two commands are wrapped up in verse number 23 in a condition for answered prayer, that we believe on the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave commandment. You know why we get answered prayer when we believe on Him and love one another? Because when we believe on His name, we behave with His nature. When we believe on His name, we behave with His nature. He's the one that said, love one another. The more we're like Him, the more we're going to have answered prayer. Assurance, answered prayer. Then verse number 24. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. The Bible says that as we keep His commandments, we are walking close with Him, and He with us. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. We saw that verse in Hebrews 13 this morning. He said, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. But we're not always close to Him. We need to abide, that's our word in verse number 24. We've got the word assurance, verse 19, 20, and 21. The words answered prayer, verse 22 and 23. And the word abiding here in verse number 24. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us. Again, those words, we know. that he abideth with us. We keep his commandments. We dwell in him, and he dwells in us. We dwell in the Son, and the Spirit dwells in us. It's a hand-in-hand deal. It's a walking with the Lord circumstance and situation. The devil doesn't like you walking with God. The devil doesn't like you abiding in Christ. The devil doesn't like you dwelling with him. And he will take any success he can get at breaking that relationship, even one small iota. And when we do, we tend to fall from that assurance. We question our answered prayer. We fail to abide in him. He that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know. We know. What do you know? A fellow used to come into Famous Supply all the time, and his typical question when he'd walk up to the counter and I'd be standing there, he'd look at me, he said, "What do you know for sure?" Now, that was his greeting. Instead of good morning or good afternoon, he'd say, "What do you know for sure?" Well, that's a loaded question, isn't it, for a Christian? And I just tell him what I know for sure. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Now, fortunately, he was a Christian man too, so it all worked out pretty good there. Others got to hear the exchange. That went well. But we know, hereby we know that he abideth in us by his Spirit which he hath given us. You see, this affection, this love for God gives us a love for one another. And a desire for the company of one another, which everybody here, I'm assured, has. And as we work that thing and develop that thing, our prayers are answered. We have assurance with God. And we collectively, if not even though individually, abide in Him by the Spirit which He gave us. One more verse and we'll close. And right here in 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 13. John, this theme that he's presenting at the end of chapter 3 is going to really carry us into chapter 4. And in chapter 4 and verse number 13, he says this, "Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." Here's how we know. "Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us because he hath given us of his Spirit." That witness of the Spirit we talked about earlier gives us the assurance of our salvation, our walk with him, our love for one another, our abiding in him, our answered prayer. It all comes from love. Love for Christ and love for one another by the Spirit which he hath given us. These are the things that give us assurance of salvation. They come because of our love for Christ. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.